Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, before we begin this morning's message, I'd like to read to you a message from Elder Cole and Sister Maybelline. As some of you may know, already know, they are not here in Sydney, but are in Singapore. So I'd like to read a message addressed to the congregation by Elder Cole and Sister Maybelline. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, my wife and I would like to wish all mothers a blessed Mother's Day. We apologize for not being able to be here this morning to celebrate Mother's Day with all our mothers here. For myself, I would like to apologize for not being here to preach, but to have my message presented by Deacon Benson Goh. I trust the Lord's Spirit will work in your heart all the same. Wednesday morning, we received news from Singapore that Mrs. Toh, wife of our senior pastor, who is also our supervisory pastor, was called home to be with the Lord. My wife and I felt it deeply that we must advance our scheduled return to Singapore by 3 days to express our comfort to senior pastor. We wanted to be back in Singapore before the funeral, which took place yesterday. Dr. and Mrs. Toh had been a great encouragement to both me and my wife. They had been our spiritual mentors. For this, we are greatly indebted to them. By the time this message is announced, we would have conveyed your condolences to Senior Pastor on your behalf. The Lord bless you as you open your heart to the message this morning. This morning's message is titled, Women in the Bible. Often we hear these words about mothers. They say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger, man from his throne has hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle, the hand that rules the world. It is a fact that we often hear great personalities attributing their successes to their mothers. On TV, we see great sportsmen publicly acknowledging the inspiration and power behind their success. Now, they would say something like this: I want to thank my mother for all the help, encouragement, and inspiration she gave me. She never gave up on me. Thank you, Mother. I hardly ever heard of any great personality thanking their fathers. Mothers, you have great power in your hands. Make good use of it. You can use it to draw your children to the Lord and to help them walk in the path of righteousness. Now, I'd like us to look at some well-known women in the Bible, and I hope all mothers and ladies will learn precious lessons from them and see how they may be able to play their role effectively to bring much honor and glory to the Lord. And the men folk here, I'm sure will be able to learn precious spiritual lessons as well. So I'd like us to consider these women. Number one, a woman deceived. A woman deceived. Number two, a woman delivered. A woman delivered. Number three, women who were devoted. Women who were devoted. And finally, number four, a woman who delivers. A woman who delivers. So let's look at point one. Firstly, a woman deceived. Now, in fact, I should say the woman deceived. Please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. in the Garden of Eden, it was the woman who was deceived by Satan and not the man. Then how did Adam sin? Some say that Adam sinned because he listened to the wife and ate the forbidden fruit. And so, husbands should not listen too much to their wife. Now, I don't think that's the teaching here. Rather, when Adam sinned, he sinned willfully. He knew it was wrong to eat the fruit, and yet he ate it. Now, coming back to the woman, it appears women are generally more vulnerable to deception than men. Perhaps that's the reason why we have this teaching in God's Word with regards to leadership in the church. Again, please refer to 1 Timothy chapter 2, but this time look at verse 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Then with regards to preaching, we have these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Members of the congregation, please help our friends and guests to locate those verses. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's the reason why we don't ordain women pastors in the DP churches. Now, I have seen in churches in which women play a dominant role in the church. Often, the churches end up having lots of problems. It is just not in the order of things, according to God's Word, to have women leading in the church, but also in the manner in which they express their views. If women wish to express their views in the running of the church, it is appropriate that they discuss it with their husbands. They should avoid being very forward in expressing their views publicly. But they have vital roles to play. They are very much needed in Sunday school teaching, in leading ladies' fellowship, and in the visitation and counseling ministry. Now, there are of course exceptions. I have seen a lone missionary woman serving in some remote villages in Malaysia. Being alone, she had to assume the leadership role in the church. She had no choice but to be the pastor, the administrator, the teacher, the servant, the clerk, and a whole lot in looking after the village church. Now, was she disobeying scripture? No. She was standing in the position of people like Deborah, a prophetess in Holy Scripture, who led the children of Israel against their enemies, the Canaanites, a role that was ordinarily played by men. But there was no man who would rise up to the occasion. So God chose a woman. Dear ladies in the church, including mothers, recognize your position in the church. Women shall not usurp authority over the men. Play your role well in the church fellowships, and you will contribute effectively to the building up of the church. By so doing, you will teach your children obedience to the Word of God. Now, if you have daughters, teach them this obedience. If you have Sunday school girls under your charge, teach them this truth. You are honoring the Lord. Then the next woman I'd like us to see is a woman who was delivered. That's point number two. Woman who was delivered. She was delivered of her sins. I refer to this Samaritan woman who was delivered of her sins, particularly the sin of adultery. The Lord was going through Samaria to go north to Galilee after leaving the city of Jerusalem. And there, he met this Samaritan woman as well. also known as Jacob's well. Now the woman had come to the well to draw water. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they had no dealings with each other. And in fact, they were enemies to one another. The woman had in fact lived a sinful and miserable life. She has married 5 times, and the man that she was living with at that time was not even her husband. In other words, she was committing adultery. It was hot that day, possibly at noontime. The Lord was thirsty and asked her for a water to drink. Then the Lord offered her living water, which, if she drank, would be the well of water springing up into everlasting life. This woman was seeking for the joy and meaning of life, and so she said, "Give me that water." The Lord very mercifully had his conversation with her. And we shall see this in John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Please turn with me to John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Are you ready? John chapter 4 verse 16, I'll read this for you. Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, "I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." The Lord led her to see how sinful she was and that she needed to repent from her sins if she wanted to have this living water. On that day, this woman repented and was gloriously saved. Now, what is this living water? Turn a few more chapters down to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 38 and verse 39. John chapter 7 will tell you what is this living water. John chapter 7, verse 38. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." This living water refers to the Holy Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit in us is not just a well of water springing up into everlasting life, but He is living water that flows like a river. If we allow Him to work, He flows like a river of living water out of us, and it will have great impact on others. And that precisely was what happened to the Samaritan woman. Having received of that living water, she left her water pot behind at the well and started to introduce the Lord to others. Turn back to John chapter 4 and let's look at verse 28 to 30. John chapter 4, 28 to 30. John chapter 4 verse 28. "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The men responded and they came and saw Jesus for themselves." And in verse 39 it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testify, 'He told me all that I ever did, that ever I did.'" All of us, including mothers, have a lot to learn from this incident. The Lord is very gracious. He is ever willing to save. He is ever willing to give us everlasting life and abundant life, which we are very much in need of. Now, you could be a very good mother and a very good wife, but you might not have that joy of living. The reason is, you do not have the well of living water springing up into everlasting life in you. you do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You must have Him in your heart. And not only that, you must let Him have full control of your life. When He is in control, He will be that living water flowing like a river out of you. You will then be a great blessing to your husband, you will be a great blessing to your children, and you will be a great blessing to those whom you relate with. Remember this Samaritan woman who was living a joyless, meaningless, and sinful life until she had this living water in her and became a great blessing to the folks in the city by introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want this well of living water in you today, come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins and receive Him into your heart. He will come and dwell in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. If you yield yourself completely to Him, He will transform you. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. You'll be a great blessing to your family and to those whom you relate with. Let's look at the third point. I'd like us to see a woman who was devoted. A woman who was devoted. And this, please turn with me to John chapter 12, the first 8 verses. John chapter 12, first 8 verses. A woman who was devoted. Now we read of this woman in John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Verse 4. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief, and had the bag, and bare that what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of My burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but with Me ye have not always. I believe God has given women a very special gift, and that is the ability to be very devoted. You see how devoted they were to the Lord. On the break of the dawn, on the morning of the resurrection, it was the women folk from Galilee that went to the tomb of Jesus to see how they might anoint Him with sweet spices, even though they knew that the tomb was sealed with a stone. Now, we also see this kind of devotion among idol worshippers. In Singapore, for example, we see how women who would devotedly go to their temples to worship their gods. Here we see Mary expressing her devotion to the Lord. She anointed the feet of the Lord with this very costly perfume. 300 pence was a lot of money in those days. Now, that would be the wages of 300 days of a worker in those days. Possibly work for 250 days per year. So 300 pence was more than a year's salary. Question for you. Would you pour more than a year's salary on the Lord? It was small wonder that Judas Iscariot, that traitor, felt it was a waste of money. For he must have wished he could pocket that money. Now, to be a good mother, you mothers must be devoted to your husbands and to your children. But do you dare believe that you would not only be a good mother, but an excellent one if you are devoted to the Lord, which means you fear Him and dare to put Him first, above your husband and above your children. If you did so, your husband and your children will praise you. You'll be like this wonderful woman in Proverbs chapter 31. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31, the passage that we read this morning. Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll look at the last three verses. Verses 28 to 30, Proverbs 31. Please look at verse 28 and I'll read this for you. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Your husband and children will praise you because you fear the Lord. You will want to obey Him and would desire your husband and your children to obey Him too. Now, for those of us who have read Dr. Toh's book, Footprints in the Sands of Time, will know that Dr. Toh loved his mother dearly. She went home to be with the Lord when he was only 16. But she left with very sweet memories of herself behind. To Dr. Toh, mother was an excellent mother. She was because she was utterly devoted to the Lord. Now, some men are tight-fisted. Thankfully, they have wives who are devoted to the Lord and who are generous and are most willing to give unto the Lord. If not for their wives, it would be utterly impossible for them to do any kind of hospitality ministry. What a sad combination. What a sad combination. It will be if a husband is tight-fisted and wife is tight-fisted too. And both are not devoted to the Lord. Their ability to obey the Lord's instruction to be hospitable would be practically zero. Now, a lesser sad combination, but still a sad one, is if the husband is generous, but the wife is tight-fisted. She has no love for the Lord. The husband would be seriously handicapped when it comes to being hospitable. Mothers, you can do much to be great, to be a great influence. Be devoted to the Lord. Be willing to gift unto Him. You will help your husband to be of use unto the Lord. Now, how can you mothers, and for that matter, all of us, improve our devotion unto the Lord? Now, there was a day in the life of our Lord when He visited the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother. The two sisters, of course, gave the Lord a very warm welcome. Martha was busily preparing to provide good hospitality to the Lord, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Martha, being very bothered by physical work, asked the Lord to rebuke Mary for not helping her. But the Lord said to her, please turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. And the Lord said to her, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, if you want to improve on our devotion unto the Lord, sit at His feet. Do your quiet time. Spend time with Him. Do it diligently, and we will improve our devotion unto Him. Mothers, by so doing, you will also be setting a good example for your husband and children to be devoted to Him. Now, I'd like us to hear Spurgeon's testimony on her mother's devotion unto the Lord, to which Spurgeon owed a lot. And he said this, I cannot tell how much I owe to the solemn words and prayers of my good mother. It was the custom Sunday evenings while we were children for her to stay at home with us. We sat around the table and read verse by verse while she explained the scripture to us. After that was done, then came the time of pleading with God. Some of the words of our mother's prayers we shall never forget. She prayed, now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment, if they lay not hold of Jesus Christ. The Lord was always first in her life, even to the extent that if her children were unrepentant on the day of judgment, she would stand on the side of the Lord to condemn her children. Will not the Lord hear your prayers for your children if you are as devoted as Spurgeon's mother? Finally, let us meet the woman who delivered her daughter. That's point number four, the woman who delivered her daughter. And for this, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. We'll read from verse 21 to 28. Matthew chapter 15, 1-5, verses 21 to 28. And as you're turning to that verse, I'll read this for you. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, this woman was very persistent in her prayer, and the Lord delivered her daughter from demon possession. So dear mothers, you might have children who are wayward, or you might have children who are not walking close to the Lord. What do? Pray. And pray diligently. Don't give up praying. My friend was a son of a mother's prayer. He was very wayward when he was a teenager. Anyone looking at him would say that there was no hope for him. But mother, who was a devout woman of faith, never gave up praying. One day, mother met with a fatal accident. My friend was jolted into reality. How he must have remembered mother's prayer. God answered her prayer. Her prayers delivered her son from the slavery of sin and the world. He repented and enrolled into a Bible college to prepare for the ministry. Today he is serving as a missionary. James Russell Miller, who lived around the turn of the 20th century, was a popular Christian author, editorial superintendent of the Presbyterian Board of Publication, and pastor of several churches in Pennsylvania and Illinois. And this was his testimony. I quote, Once I suddenly opened the door of my mother's room and saw her on her knees beside a chair and heard her speak my name in prayer. I quickly and quietly withdrew, with a feeling of awe and reverence in my heart. Soon I went away from home to school and there to college, then into life's sterner duties. But I never forgot that one glimpse of my mother at prayer, nor the one word, my name, which I heard from her lips. Well did I know that what I had seen that day was but a glimpse of what was going on every day in that secret closet of prayer. And the consciousness of it strengthened me 1,000 times in duty, in danger, and in struggle. And when her death came and sealed those lips, the sorest sense of loss that I felt was the knowledge that no more would my mother be praying for me. Mothers, today while you can, while you still have life and are lucid, pray for your children. You do not know the thousands of times you would have delivered them from dangers and strengthened them when they need strength. Mothers, today we met women from whom we can learn great spiritual lessons which will enable you to be the mother the Lord wants you to be. Remember the woman who was deceived, Eve. She was deceived and not Adam by Satan. That possibly is the reason why Paul says the woman should not usurp the authority of the men in church. She will be of great use to the Lord in the church fellowship if she plays her supportive role well in the church. Then remember the woman who was delivered. This woman from Samaria, she came and trusted in the Lord. She repented and received living water into her. This living water, which is the Holy Spirit, transformed her life. She could not contain her joy that she received, but out of her flowed rivers of living water. She straight away shared Jesus with other people. If you are controlled by God's mighty Spirit, this too will happen to you. You will want to share your joy with your family and with those outside your family. And you will be a great blessing to your home. The joys are flowing out of you every day. Also remember the women who were devoted to the Lord. All women are to be devoted to their husbands and their children. They are good mothers if they are devoted. But they will be excellent mothers if they are devoted to the Lord. If you are a God-fearing mother, like the woman in the book of Proverbs, your husband and your children will praise you. And finally, remember the woman who delivered. The woman who delivered. This Canaanitish woman delivered her daughter from demon possession by pleading for her before the Lord. Mothers, your prayers will save your children from many a heartache and headache. Your prayers for their salvation will not be in vain, for it is said of the prayers of Monica, the mother of Augustine, who was a very wayward young man, the son of so many, many prayers will not be lost. Augustine was converted and became one of the greatest saints in the history. Mothers, the Lord enable you to be the mother He wants you to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us mothers, especially mothers who are godly, mothers who fear you, and mothers who live an exemplary life that draws all the people around her to Christ. There may be some mothers in our midst who want to be like that woman as described in Proverbs 31. Cause them to understand that if they do not know you as Lord and Savior, it is impossible for them to achieve that. Because it is only you who by your grace makes it possible for them to live a life that is pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us examples in your word about women who were deceived, women who were delivered, women who were devoted to you. Father, we pray that these lessons learned will make mothers understand that the important responsibilities that mothers have at home, at work, and in church. May they commit themselves to you daily, drawing special strength and wisdom as they fulfill their roles as godly mothers, so that the living water will flow like a river out of them. All these we pray in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.